Well, this morning we are back together again, and I don't know, is everyone doing okay this morning, feeling rested today with your time change? I've got something to help us this morning, maybe. Well, this might help me up here, I'm not sure, but is everyone feeling rested this morning? This is, I found this at my house, I thought maybe I'd pay attention this morning and see who's drifting in and out of sleep. And if you are drifting in and out of sleep, I'm going to walk down and hand this to you. So everyone's going to notice who it is this morning. Oh, rest is important, is it not? And I hope last night you had a really good night's rest. Can you think of a good night's rest? If last night wasn't, if it wasn't that great, think of a really good night's rest with me for a moment. Now, don't get tired on me, but just think. Think of a good night's rest. What makes a good night's rest so good? So think for a moment. Think back to some of the best nights of rest you've ever had. Was it maybe the room that you slept in? Was it the atmosphere? The smells of the room, or whatever, clean sheets, open windows, probably not in winter. Was it the sounds of the outdoors? Maybe the good night's rest you're thinking of. Maybe you were sleeping somewhere near a nice gentle brook. You know what a brook is? A stream, as I call it in Wisconsin, a creek. A nice gentle creek. That doesn't sound gentle. All of us can envision a good night's rest, but all of us also know what it's like to not have a good night's rest. You know what it's like to toss and turn. If you're anything like me, it's just too hot. I don't know how my wife can sleep at night. She's just covered up with all these blankets. It's just always too hot for me. It's unsettling. It's not restful. So what is it that makes a good night's rest? Is it the circumstances? Is it the room? Is it the pillow and the bedding? Is it the day that you've lived that leads up to that perfect night's rest? Right? Maybe you worked hard, or you exercised, or you ate well, and everything just fell into place and you were able to go to sleep. I think all of us tend to struggle with rest, and some of you, I know, you wrestle with sleep. If you're a parent, you know sleep's hard to find, but I've been told it only lasts for a short time and we should enjoy it. And the people that tell us that are those who are sleeping all night long without interruption, but it's a season, so enjoy it. Why do so many of us struggle with sleep and with rest? And what is true rest? Yeah? I'm going to just throw this aside. This is really you know what a throw pillow is? This is a throw pillow. I'm just going to throw that aside for a moment. And Aubrey thought it was pretty good. Just throw that aside for a moment, but I'm paying attention, just so you know. So what is true rest? Right, true rest is more than sleep, although sleep is super important. Of all the definitions of rest that I found, I like this one best. It'll be on the screen for you. To rest means to relax into something and let it support you. To rest means to relax into something and let it support you. Can you feel the weight? Can you feel the weight of that definition? Think of your own life. What is it that you are relying on? What is carrying you? What are you relying on each moment of every day? Can you just imagine laying down and resting and letting go of everything you were doing and all that weight that you're carrying around? What does it look like to let go and be free in that way? Yet so many of us struggle with rest. And I know there are some medical reasons and health reasons, but I want us to focus in on a different direction this morning. I want to suggest to us that perhaps some of us struggle with rest because of unbelief. Now, I'm not talking about just sleeping. I'm talking about rest. Some of us may struggle with rest because of unbelief. maybe we don't actually believe that God is as good as he really is. Right? If we hear a sermon or read a little bit from the scripture, but we don't experience him, how can we rest in that? Right? Our relationship with him has to be more than intellectual, more than just the mind. The word tells us it must be our mind, soul, heart, and strength. The word says we must believe, and a lot of times if we look at the original language, that belief is not just a head knowledge and understanding. It's like belief from our guts, from our bowels, from deep within all that we are. We must put our faith in Jesus. Without Jesus, what are you relaxing into? Without him, who is carrying you and the weight that all of us tend to carry? Without Jesus, where is your hope? And without him, might I ask and suggest to us, without Jesus, do we really have hope? Unbelief is why the Israelites never entered the promised land. The promised land that God had promised to his people was the land of rest. It was the promised land. But when the time came, God's people didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. These two spies, these two scouts that were sent out, they didn't believe the report that Joshua and Caleb brought back about this land. Instead, they believed the lies of the other men. And they began to distort reality, and they perverted what they had seen. They told lies. And so the Israelites didn't listen to the Lord. But it didn't have to be that way. I want us to turn for a moment to the Old Testament to read a few pieces of this story. It's found in Numbers. If you know your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, it's found in Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. I'm not going to read the whole story to you. I just want to pull out a few verses so you can hear the narrative of what was taking place here that led to the unbelief of God's people. So in Numbers, chapter 13, beginning in verse 17, we pick the story up here in verse 17. When Moses sent them, these spies, these scouts, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." So they went up and they explored the land, right? They wanted a report about what to expect, just as we all would, right? Any of you who have ever moved, right? You want to know where you're moving to, what it's like, what the people are like, what kind of houses are there, what are the prices, is there a Hy-Vee, is there an Aldi, is there a Walmart? If there's a Walmart, you know it's a real town. I mean, that's kind of how we judge, like, small town, town. Small town, no Walmart. Town, it's got a Walmart. They wanted a report of what to expect. Let's jump down to verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and his brother Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There, they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does. It flows with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." And verse 30 says, "Then Caleb, he silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't go. We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there, they were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak who came from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Can you imagine? That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and they wept aloud. The Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Things quickly shifted because of unbelief. They did not believe the word that had been given to them. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb instead. They let their minds wander, and they began to believe these lies. They lost their focus. They were afraid to pursue the promise of God. But are we much different? I mean, how many of us forget the promises of God? And how many of us believe the lies of other people over the word of God? Right? We can all, if we're not careful, slip into that pattern of unbelief, of believing what the world sees and what the world is saying over what God has already said. But it doesn't have to be like this. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That promise of rest still remains. Right, the promise was for God's people. It was the promised land, but the promise still remains. And again, if you were with us last week, you see in Hebrews 3, the Holy Spirit is leading the writer of Hebrews to pull from Psalm 95. David wrote Psalm 95 after they had already entered into the promise. So the promise still remains. I want us to turn to Hebrews, and this is our text for the morning, in chapter 4. Hebrews 4, and we'll begin in the first verse. See.
I can't wait to share this, but I want to share it because I have the same situation with my sister Gladys this morning.
Amen.
Can I share? My sister Gladys came to me asking me about the 144,000 people that's the number allocated on the book of Revelations. And she heard that also from a person who came to her, and deceiving came to her, deception. She said, I will not be saved. 144,000 people. So I told her, 144,000 people is what we have in my town where I was born. Can you imagine the entire rest of the earth? No. That's why we need to read the word of God. Don't let people deceive you. Believe in his promises. Believe in him. Stand up in his word. That is exactly what happened right there. My brothers and sisters, God bless you.
Amen. Praise his name. Amen. Hebrews 4. Verse 1. Now I got to turn there again because I lost my spot. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Right? Referring to what Rose just shared and what she shared with Gladys, right? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. It's a lot more than 144,000 people who are lost. His promise still stands. Verse 2, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, right, the Israelites. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. Right, so this isn't something that is just happening, just kind of here and there. He finished it since the creation of the world. Verse 4, for somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest when they finally entered the promised land, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And thanks be to God this morning. The promise still stands. The offer is still available to all those who pursue him, to all those who trust in him and believe. So what does that look like? Well, we must trust his word. And as Rose has reminded us, we must search his word. We must know his word, but we must trust his word. We must also live carefully. And this is something that maybe we don't highlight as frequently or as often as we should these days. And yet, in a few decades ago, it was highlighted all too much. We must live carefully. We must be careful to live in obedience to his word and his will for our lives. And when we live carefully and when we trust our lives to him, we can embrace the fullness of his promise. How many of us here this morning are not living in the fullness of Christ? And if we're not, is that God's fault somehow, or is that on us? Is that our own unbelief? See, his desire for us is that we would believe. And God isn't somehow hiding himself from us. He's not hard for us to discover. He is present. He's waiting for us. And his promise to us through this word this morning is for rest and wholeness. But we must enter his rest. We must actually trust him enough to enter in. Right? The Israelites didn't fully trust. There was disobedience there. For them, rest represented the end to their wandering. It was the end of the wilderness. Here, the writer of Hebrews calls all of us into God's rest. But if we don't respond, it is of no value. The Passion Translation says it this way: for we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. Did you catch that? I love this idea. They didn't join their faith with the word. Two parts, faith and the word. Verse 3 says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. Faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. Confident rest is only through faith. When you join your faith with his word, you activate that promise. Only through faith can you enter his rest. You cannot find it on your own. It's not a matter of creating the perfect scenario with nice Egyptian cotton sheets and perfect temperature and the perfect day. That's not how you enter his rest. It is only through faith. He is the one that makes the way for us, and he invites us in. So we must respond. The Israelites did not believe Caleb and Joshua. Their unbelief then kept them out of that promise. We are called to believe the promises of God. And we're called to believe the promises of God even before we experience it. And that's kind of the hard part. That's what faith is. Confident assurance. Right? Only through faith can you enter his rest. Faith is that confident assurance in God, not in what I see. So if you're tracking with me the last couple of weeks, I want to say this to us. Confident assurance leads to confident rest. And it's only found through Jesus. So we see here in Hebrews that on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And the writer of Hebrews is pulling from Genesis chapter 2. There is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their own works. So let us make every effort to enter that rest. So if you're tracking with me, there's a couple of different levels of rest. There's rest as we see in the Old Testament. It was the promised land, the rest that God was providing to them. There is the rest that we are to follow God's example in, Sabbath rest. But there is also rest that is only found through faith in Jesus Christ. So we make every effort to enter the rest. So what does that look like for us? Well, if you remember already in Hebrews, we've been encouraged to encourage one another daily. Are we encouraging one another to rest? Are we calling out unfaithfulness? Many of you are very much like me, and you're so good at being busy, and I've been trying to correct myself. When people would ask me how I'm doing, I used to always say, I'm doing good, but I'm really busy. My wife is also trying to help correct me to be more faithful to this idea. For whatever reason, many of us wear busyness as a badge of honor, but that is contrary to what God would have us live and become. His goal isn't for us to become busy. His goal for us is to be a disciple, to follow after him, to trust him enough that we're not busy, we're just resting in him. So God is serious about rest. It is how he completed creation. Right? In Genesis, we see the creation account, the first 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. God is serious about rest. He even included it on his tablet. And I know our kids went downstairs for mission, so I think most of you would understand, right? I'm not talking about like tablet. I'm talking about stone tablets. God included rest in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, we see that commandment, verses 8 to 10. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your male or female servant, nor animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. But look at what the writer of Hebrews is saying to us. He is saying that we must make every effort to enter that rest. Every effort. Right? Drawing from the Old Testament and drawing from the Israelites, they had to enter into that promised land. It was not an easy thing to do. You know the story of Joshua, right? It was a big deal, and God is the one that made the way into the promised land. So the Israelites had to trust God, they had to follow him, and they had to go in and conquer the promised land. Joshua is the one that led that conquest. So ask yourself this morning, is there a conquering that needs to happen in your life? God provides the rest, but he's looking to us to trust him and to follow him. And it looks to me like we must go after it. And when I say that idea that we must go after it, I'm not saying that we are the one that can create this rest. That's way too tiring. No, what I'm saying is this going after it is really us going after God, us pursuing God. Does that make sense this morning? Because I've really wrestled with this, and I don't want to be wrong here, but I see that the Israelites missed it. because of their unbelief. The Israelites missed it because they were not willing to trust God and enter in. So it seems to me like we must trust God and we must enter in. We must pursue Him. And so here in Hebrews, we find this paradox. We are called to make every effort, to do all we can, to make every effort to enter the rest. It seems like a paradox. But true rest is only found in God. So we follow His example. God finished His work and rested. And we can enter His rest because He has finished His work. So rest is not found in striving. Rest is not just me setting aside time. Rest is found through surrender. Remember the definition. To rest means to relax into something and to let it support you. That relaxing into something is surrendering into God. A better way to say it this morning is to abide with Christ. To abide means to remain in Him. And Jesus tells us in John 15, if you abide with me, I will abide with you. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. His way for us is so, so good. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, and many of you know this, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Jesus says to us here this morning, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Canaan rest for Israel is a picture of the spiritual rest we find in Christ. When we come to Christ by faith, we find salvation rest. When we surrender and obey Him by faith, we enjoy submission rest. So choose today who you will serve. Choose today how you will live. If you're alive because of the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians. If you're living by the Spirit, then let's rest in God. Let's not just push and push until we burn out. We were created to work and to rest, to work and to enjoy. It's not wrong to actually enjoy your life. So ask yourself, are you enjoying life? Do you feel rested this morning? Are you resting and trusting in God this morning? Have you put your faith in Christ? If not, you're only going to feel unsettled. Right? If you've not put your faith in Christ, you will feel unsettled because you are not where you belong. You are not in the place where God created you to be. He created you to be in fellowship with Him. Our joy is not found in our circumstances. Our joy is found in the Lord. So without the Lord, there is no rest and there's no true joy. Many of you could give testimony to that this morning, the difference that Christ has made in your life. But I want all of us today to choose rest, to decide to trust God and His promises to us. Let's decide today not to let the circumstances that we find ourselves in or the opinions and the voices of others dictate and rule how we live our lives. Instead, let us follow Jesus. Because unbelief is tiring. And God is offering rest. And the good news this morning is that in Hebrews we see that God keeps renewing this promise to us. He keeps renewing the promise and He keeps setting the date as today. Today. Choose today to follow Jesus and you will find rest. Rest. I want to invite you to join with me in this. Because as I reflect on my own life, some of my greatest weaknesses are in this area. I'm guilty of striving and trying to create things, and yet what I see in Scripture and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me these days is to trust Him, to just fully surrender and lean into Him and surrender myself to Him as He makes the way. And so maybe you're like me, and you've been guilty of this in the past. Let's trust Him this morning, and let's allow His word to us to shape us and form us to be more like Him. So this morning, I want to close by reading the psalm that we started with this morning, Psalm 121, and we'll close in prayer. This is Psalm 121. The psalm writer says, I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realized that our true help and protection come only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget nor ignore me. He will never slumber nor sleep. He is the guardian God for His people Israel. Jehovah Himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in His presence. He's protecting you from all danger, both day and night. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity as He continually watches over you. You will be guarded by God Himself. You'll be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now, and He'll protect you forevermore. I can rest in that. And I find my peace, the finished work of Christ. So if you've not experienced that, surrender it to Him. It doesn't mean every night's going to be a perfect night's rest. In fact, last night, I just think this is how the enemy works. Last night, I had too much coffee yesterday, and I was tossing and turning, and whenever the time's going to change, I worry that my phone's not going to update, and I'm going to be late for church. So God's not saying, like, every night's going to be perfect night's rest, but what He's saying is, don't get caught up in worrying. God's got this. Why don't you enter in to the promise? So let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the invitation. We thank You this morning, Lord, that even though Your people have been unfaithful and even though we've been unfaithful, You are still here today. And Lord, the challenge this morning is for us to respond in this moment You've given us. So, Lord, I just pray this morning that all of us would be faithful to respond to Your word. We'd be faithful to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we'd be done with like the striving, the trying to be somebody. And instead, Lord, help us to begin to see ourselves the way that You see us. You see us with such love. You sent Your Son Jesus so that we wouldn't have to strive and wouldn't have to continue to fight, but we could just enter in and trust You with our lives. So, Father, this morning, we're praying a prayer of surrender. And Father, for me, what that looks like is I'm just going to fully lean into. I'm going to let all of my weight, all that I am, all that I'm carrying, I'm going to surrender it to You. And instead, Lord, we're going to walk with Jesus, watching You, keeping our eyes focused on You, learning from You, listening to Your voice. So empower us by Your Spirit, Lord, to keep in step with You. And Father, Lord, I just feel really led to pray for those who are not sleeping well. There's all kinds of reasons behind that. It could be physical reasons. It could be battles that they're facing. But Lord, you are our healer today. So Lord, we pray for healing in Jesus' name for anyone that's struggling with sleep. Instead, Lord, we enter into your rest. Lord, everything that's going to happen this week, we don't have to worry about it. You're already there. We're entrusting everything to you. So, Lord, lead us out from this place. And Father, as we leave this place, we can't help but feel lighter. We can't help but feel emptied of ourselves and filled with you. Thank you. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for your peace. We ask and we pray all of this morning in the strong name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. May you go in peace this morning. You're loved.